Liz Ballantyne Jackson is a retired teacher and mother of two who lives in Ottawa. She's a board of director member of the Guatemala Stove Project and coordinates the Ottawa Volunteers. Liz, can you tell us what the Guatemala Stove Project is?
Well, the Stove Project is a small NGO that's volunteer-driven. It's a grassroots organization that's based in the Perth and Ottawa areas. And the main purpose of the Stove Project is to fundraise, raise funds, and finance the building of improved cooking stoves in Guatemala, a specific region of Guatemala, which is the Western Highlands.
Why do you need to do that? What was the problem?
Well, I'll explain that from a global perspective, because this is an issue that affects communities and women and people worldwide. It's estimated that there are around 3 billion people in the world who cook still over open fires. They cook their meals over a fire with open flames, either inside or outside of their homes. That's 3 billion people worldwide who are affected by this situation, and up to 1.9 million people a year die from the effects of the smoke, the toxic smokes that are in a home. So that produces all sorts of health issues. Children and women in particular are affected because they are the ones who are around the cooking fire most. So there's high incidences of emphysema, pneumonia, asthma, cataracts. It's a global issue that is finally getting some recognition. Just recently, there was an alliance formed called the Global Alliance for Clean Cook Stoves. This is an initiative of the Clinton Foundation. Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton have united with the United Nations. They're trying to bring international attention to the situation, and our organization works specifically to combat the problem in one very specific small region of Guatemala and Central America.
There must be also a lot of accidents, presumably.
Yes, that's a really serious issue, small children in particular, but women as well. If you've ever had an opportunity to see one of these open fires, there's flames coming out the sides beside the fire. Traditionally, the women in Guatemala wear lovely long hand-woven skirts. They brush against the flames, they catch on fire. Often there are pots of water heating on the fire. They tip over, they burn children. There's a lot of issues. It's a very serious problem, but there is a solution, and it's not too expensive from our perspective, but from the perspective of someone who lives in poverty, the solution is fairly complicated.
Can you tell us a bit about these communities?
The communities that we work in are, as I said, located in the Western Highlands of Guatemala, quite a distance from the capital city, Guatemala City. They're in a very mountainous region. The people live in small villages up in the highlands. Most of the people are Mayan families. The Mayan people and indigenous people in general were marginalized during the colonial period of history throughout Central and South America, and so they've been historically marginalized. So these people live in very small communities without the kinds of resources and infrastructure that we take for granted as Canadians and North Americans. So they're living in small communities that often don't have road access. Their homes are small and very modest, often made out of adobe blocks or cement blocks with tin roofs. Because this is a mountainous region, it's quite cold during the winter, and so the cooking fires are inside the homes, which heats the home to a point, but it also causes the problems of indoor air pollution. And if you go into these homes, you can see the black tarry substances that are on the ceiling, and studies have been done to measure the particulate matter that is in the air, and it's causing all sorts of health issues for the families that live in those homes. They are communities that do their best to work together. They have issues of sanitation. They need latrines. They need access to water. They need improved education. And again, they need the improved cooking method. And that's the focus of our group. We focus on improved cooking stoves.
Can you describe this improved stove?
There are lots of different types of improved cooking stoves, and the Global Alliance that I mentioned before, their mandate is to promote a more factory-produced stove that is portable and can be produced in a factory. The stove that we make is very specific to this region, and it's quite popular in the region where we work. And it is a very permanent structure, so they're built in homes of people who, for the most part, own their own land. It's made from cement and cement blocks, and it's mortared together. It has a firebox inside that's insulated with sand and small fire bricks. The important part is that it's vented outside through the roof with a chimney. As I said, it has a small firebox, but because it's well insulated and closed off, one of the important things about these stoves is they require about 50% of the amount of wood that a traditional open fire uses. So once a family can start using their improved cooking stove, they don't have to purchase as much wood, or they don't have to go and chop down as much wood in the neighboring forest. So it's a win-win situation. It's good for the family health-wise. It's also good for the environment because it is wood-friendly. It takes less wood to cook a meal on one of these stoves.
And it sounds as though the technology is very, very simple.
Exactly. And that is one of the good things about this stove. You don't need any power tools to make it. It can be made with materials purchased locally. The bricks are made locally, so that creates economy in the area, creates business. We employ local masons who are trained in building the stoves of this design. The materials have to often be carried from a road up to a mile, half a kilometer or a kilometer away from the roads, so all the materials have to be carried in. Often they're built in rooms that don't have electricity or very limited electricity, but they can all be made with materials that can be brought into the community. So they are very efficient, and the design is quite popular. It's also a stove that is more than just a stove. It's sort of like a kitchen countertop or like an island in the middle of the house or the room. And because it's a fairly large surface, there's a metal plate or a plancha, it's called, on top of the stove. And a woman can do her cooking on the stove in pots and pans and frying pans, but she can also put a pot of water on the edge, and that water can heat all day. So once she has hot water, she can use that for washing clothes, she can use that for washing hair or their children's faces or hands. So it's more than just a cooking implement. It helps sanitation and hygiene. It's, as I said, it's a win-win situation. The women really value these cooking stoves because they've gone from cooking on the ground, often with their child on their back. And so the mother and the child were bending over the flames, getting the smoke in their eyes, and now the stove is elevated up to a meter off the floor. The woman can stand upright and doesn't have an aching back anymore. I hear nothing but praise from the women who receive these stoves, because for them it's like being given this wonderful appliance. Even though from a Canadian or a North American perspective it doesn't look like much, I like to see it as the first step up out of poverty. It's the first step. Once a woman can change her cooking habits, she also spends less time cooking. If you can imagine just cooking over a small open flame, how long it takes to switch pots and move your things around, she can now prepare a meal in half the time using half the wood in a much cleaner, sanitary way.
How much do these stoves cost?
That's a good question. From our perspective as a fundraising group, we ask a family or a donor to donate $200 or $225 towards the building of a stove. That helps us with our costs here in Canada for financing the program. The costs in Guatemala are, the money that's sent there is roughly $170 to $180 for the materials and the employment of a mason to build the stove and the delivery. Delivery costs can be high because the materials are trucked from a town up into the mountains. Costs from our perspective is not high, but from a family that is, you know, making only the equivalent of $1 or $2 a day per person for all of their expenses, it's way out of reach. But we're able to finance the building of stoves for about $200 per stove.
How many stoves have you managed to donate so far?
The stove project has fundraised over the past 10 or more years about equivalent of about 4,000 stoves. We had a really good fundraising year last year, and we were able to build close to 400 stoves and do some emergency funding, because last year was a very difficult year in Guatemala. There were a lot of floods and landslides, and we had some requests for funding for emergency aid. So even though we donated money towards emergency aid, we were also able to fund close to 400 stoves. So that was a very good year for us. We're a group of Canadians. We're all volunteers. None of us are employed by the Stove Project. We have other jobs, other activities that we do, but we come together and we coordinate the activities in Guatemala. We do fundraising events, and we get a lot of satisfaction out of helping families in Guatemala this way.
When did this project start? How long have you been going?
The project started in around 1999, I guess, with Tom Clark, who's the founder. Tom lives in Perth, Ontario. It's a very small town, about an hour from Ottawa. He's a carpenter by trade and was traveling in Central America several times in his life. And I guess in the 1990s, he met up with a young Guatemalan, a Quiche Maya fellow, who was coordinator or director of an indigenous health organization called SEDEC. And Tom, who loves to build things, was able to build some stoves with Jose at that time. He learned how to build stoves from an elder who was a mason and had been developing a different style of stove that was popular in Central America. So Tom helped build a few stoves that year, returned to Perth, talked to people there, got people interested. The next year he returned with a group of five or six people. They built another 30 stoves. And from there, the group just grew and more people got interested. I think what's appealing to people is that they can help out with the project and actually see the results of their work. When we make donations to big NGOs or aid agencies, we have to trust them, and we send our money off, and you know, most of the time the money's well spent. But if you join a small group like ours, you can actually travel to the country, meet the people who are recipients of your efforts and your donation. It's a project where people like to be actively involved in development work. When a person donates for a stove, they will receive a picture of a family beside the stove, and you actually do see the results. And the donation doesn't just help the mother or the one or two people, it helps the whole family. Our motto is build a stove, change the future. And by building a stove, that family gets improved health, and the mother has more time, and things just start rolling from there. I think it's a really good way to affect change in developing countries.
Now, do you have a website, Liz, that we could log on to?
Yes, the Stove Project does have a website. It's www.guatemalastoveproject.org. It's just one big long word, guatemalastoveproject.org. And if people are interested in learning a little bit more about the global issue of indoor air pollution and the problems worldwide, they could go to the site for the Global Alliance for Clean Cook Stoves. That's HTTP and then cleancookstoves.org. And that gives you a lot of background information about the issue globally. And then our website would give you information about the regional context of that.
This interview was produced by Rosemary Wally and Laura Yaris.